Everybody that does anything, I remember when they were little children. If you live long enough, a lot of those things happen. And Risha, thank you so much for that beautiful song. I never hear that I do not weep, because that was my wife's favorite missionary song. And let me speak to the ladies for just a few minutes tonight, okay? I committed my life to be a preacher. Made a commitment on Thanksgiving night in 1954. And I can well remember going forward that night, and Brother Durwood Humble was doing altar work, and I said, "Brother Humble, I know God has called me to be a preacher, but I don't know how in the world I could be a preacher." And I had the idea I wouldn't mind being a preacher, but I'm not sure that anybody would listen. I heard Adrian Rogers one time, and he said, "A lot of people feel like they've been called to be a preacher, but God hadn't called anybody to listen to them." Okay, so that's sort of my feeling, Brother Pittman. But I will remember him saying that, and he said, "Well, Don, how did you get saved?" And I said, "I got saved by the grace of God." He said, "Okay, if you ever preach, you'll have to do it by the grace of God." By the way, that was good advice in 1954, and that's good advice in 2024. Whatever we do by the grace of God, amen? Every once in a while, somebody asked me, "Brother Sis, how do you keep going?" I said, two big things. Number one, the grace of God. Number two, the prayers of God's people. And thank all of you that pray for me. 3 weeks after I made that commitment to be a preacher, Virginia went forward, and she made a commitment that was unbelievable. And this was her commitment that night. And she said, "I want everybody in the church to pray for me. And I want to say tonight, since God has called on to be a preacher, then I want to be all that I can possibly be as a wife, so he can be all that he needs to be for the glory of God." And Brother Pittman, at her memorial service, I could not help but think, if anybody ever kept a commitment, it was her. And I mean, everywhere we went, she was totally involved in the ministry and not complaining. And we went to a lot of places and we had nothing practically, but she was right with me all the time. And thank you all for letting me come again this year. And I don't know if Brother Dave's going to invite me back next year or not, but everywhere I go, they say, "We want to have you one more time," okay? So, Brother Dave, I'd like to come one more time. And thank you for your financial support. This church has supported me for many, many years, and I appreciate that so much. Open your Bibles tonight to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. And if you would not mind, if you're able, please stand to honor God's word as I read tonight, okay? Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 6. "Now when they," and this is talking about Paul and Silas now, "had gone throughout Pergia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we," and if you notice the word "we," and this is where Luke joins the missionary team, "immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women that restored thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Dear Lord, speak to our hearts tonight through the final message of this 2024 missionary conference. And we thank you for the messages that have been preached. We thank you, dear Lord, for the songs that have been sung, the prayers that have been made, the offerings that have been given. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to bless us and speak to our hearts tonight through your word. And we'll praise you for whatever you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, we find these words. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. And we find from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7 that God is sovereign even in the opened and closed doors. So tonight, what I want us to think about is a very simple word, and that is the word open. Let's think about the word open. First of all, we notice that the Apostle Paul had an open mind. Now, Paul thought he was going back to Asia. He had planned to do that. By the way, nothing wrong with making plans. But evidently, Paul prayed regularly and committed himself day by day to wherever God wanted him to go, whatever God wanted him to do. And he just was assured that we're going back to Asia. Now, this is a second missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas went on the first missionary journey, and that was a great journey. They established many churches, did so much good, came back home, and went to Jerusalem to get some things straightened out because some Judaizers had come to the churches where he had been and said, it's good that you got saved by Jesus Christ, but you need to keep the Ten Commandments, you need to be circumcised, and all those things. And my dear friend, if you add anything to grace, it's not grace, amen. And he got them straightened out. That was good. And he came back, and then after a few days, he said to Barnabas, he said, Barnabas, let's go back and visit the people again. And it, a strange thing happened there. And the Bible says that Barnabas was determined, and that's a very strong word, that he was determined to take John Mark with him. And Paul was determined that he wasn't going to go. And so evidently, and you know, Barnabas was his nickname. His real name was Joseph or Jose. And so Paul said to Joseph, no way, Jose. Amen. I mean, hey, he quit the first time. I don't have time for a quitter. And so forth. And the contention among them became so great that they divided their team. And Barnabas went one way, and he chose somebody else. And Paul chose Silas and went another way. I think, Dr. Pittman, That's where Independent Baptist started. Amen. They said, you go your way and we'll go our way. Okay. Anyway, Paul and Silas, they began to go, and they thought for sure they're going back to Asia. And it's a very strange statement. And we were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word. Now, thank God he said in Asia, amen. So they weren't forbidden to preach the word, but they were forbidden to preach the word in Asia. And the Bible says, and after they came to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Okay, if it's not Asia, we'll go into Bithynia. But again, the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing through Mysia, came down to Troas. Now think about it. Paul had an open mind. Wouldn't it be great if every time we came to church, we would have an open mind? What does that mean? You remember what the old prophet said to Samuel? And he thought the prophet was calling him in. It was God calling him in. He said, now, if you hear that again, just say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. In other words, I'm listening. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to be, I'm listening. I'm listening. I wonder tonight if you do not have a closed mind or if you have an open mind. I mean, he thought he was going to Asia, but the God, Holy Spirit of God did not allow him to do that. But he had an open mind. Now, I know that some of you have already made up your mind. I'm going to do this. I'm going to live here. I'm going to do this job the rest of my life. And regardless of what anybody says or anything, I'm not listening. I know what I'm going to do. But my dear friend, if we had open minds tonight, I believe from the depth of my heart, there would be a lot more people going to the great unevangelized fields all around the world. You heard it this morning from Brother Baggett. 90% of the people of the world have never heard the gospel. You have an open mind? Young people, what if God had speak to your heart tonight? Young couples, what if God would speak to your heart tonight? I wonder if you have an open mind, if you will listen. He had an open mind. Even so many college students today, and I preach a lot in colleges and so forth, and yet they've got their mind made up. We're going to be in America. I'm going to be a soccer coach. I'm going to be a tennis teacher or whatever. My dear friend, wouldn't it be good tonight if just for a minute every one of us would say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. He had an open mind. Evidently, Paul prayed regularly. Dear Lord, where do you want me today? Where do you want me now? Speak, Lord, thy servant. He had an open mind. And then there was an open door. Now, Paul had thought about going to Asia, but it was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to do that. And then they came down to Mysia, and they essayed to go into Bithynia. Okay, if it's not Asia, maybe it's Bithynia. But then the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. By the way, aren't you glad Paul went to Troas? Because there he saw that great vision of that man from Macedonia. Europe, come over into Macedonia and help us. He had an open door. Think about it. Paul was planning to go to Asia, but God spoke to his heart and said, no, not Asia. And then he sees this vision, come over into Macedonia and help us. So he had an open door. I have a lot of people saying to me today, and I live in a city where for many, many years, hundreds of people were graduated from Tennessee Temple every year, and they were in churches all over Chattanooga, and you'd go to them and they'd say, oh, I'm just waiting for an open door. And I said, okay, I'll show you some open doors. Amen. If you want to serve God, there are open doors. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And then the Bible tells us that they left Troas. And by the way, that's where Luke joined the team. That was a good thing. Amen. I'm sure Paul always rejoiced that he went to Troas. You remember Paul had the thorn in the flesh? And I have no idea what it was, and you don't either. I used to have my college students to say, and you know, to figure out, what do you think the thorn of the flesh is? And you got some strange ideas. I know one of them was he was married and it was his wife, okay? I don't think that's true. But anyway, I don't know what it was, but evidently it was something that it caused him a lot of pain, a lot of problems and so forth. And he prayed that God would remove it, but God didn't remove it. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And by the way, if you have something happen to you and you can't get over it, God's grace is sufficient for you, regardless of what it is, okay? And now think about this. Luke was not only a great historian, but he was a physician. And Paul, God did not remove the thorn in the flesh, but he gave him a private physician to travel with him. Is God good to provide for us or not? You think about the unbelievable ways that God provides for us day after day. And then they began to travel into Europe, and they came to a city named Philippi. And the Bible says, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, now, what did Paul usually do on the Sabbath day? You know what he did? He went to the synagogue. And there he started his ministry, city after city after city. But in Philippi, evidently there weren't many Jews. And in those days, if there were as many as 10 Jewish men in a city, then they had a Jewish synagogue. But they didn't have a synagogue there. So rather than going to the synagogue, they said, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women. Now think about that. Paul saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. He got over there. He didn't meet any men. There were a bunch of women. And thank God for women, amen. Thank God even in mission ministry. And I know some people that have an idea that we don't support single women. And I think then you would have missed much of Christian history if you don't support women missionaries. But he sat down with those women. And guess what he did? He opened to them the word of God. Look at it. And we sat down and spake unto the women. Now he's not getting up and preaching like I'm trying to do tonight. No, he just was sitting there, and he began to speak unto the women, which restored thither. And Paul opened the Bible. Is that good or not? Hey, by the way, the best thing that happens to Temple Baptist Church or any other church in the world is when somebody takes an open Bible and begins to teach and to preach. We sang, the pianist played that song a while ago. But Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There was a pastor of a large mega church in Atlanta that said, you don't believe Jesus loves you just because the Bible tells you. And I thought, you may not, but I do. Amen. Hey, if the Bible says it, it's right. We don't have to question or doubt the Bible. The Bible is God speaking to us. And so Paul opened to them the Bible. And I suppose he said things like this. Now, it was a Jewish prayer meeting, okay? Lydia was a Jew. She had been converted from heathenism to Judaism. And the other women were Jewish women. And can't you imagine Paul sitting there and opening the Bible? Now, the fact is, it hadn't been written yet. But guess who was going to write it? Paul. So he opened the Bible. And he said, ladies, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And he began to tell them about the virgin birth, how Jesus was born of a virgin. And he lived all of his life. He was impeccable. He had no sin whatsoever. But that he was a servant. And he lived and died for the people. And he got to the point where he said, and Jesus Christ had no sins of his own. But when he died on Calvary's cross. He was crucified. He became our substitute. Paul was going to write this later. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. And then he would say, now the Bible tells us, or I'm going to tell you, I'm going to write it later. I'm going to open the word for you tonight, okay? All of us are sinners. Doesn't matter who we are, we're sinners. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he just went right down the line, you know. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Paul didn't have the Bible at that time, but he was going to write that. So he opened to them the Bible. And it's not because who preaches or who teaches, but the most important thing that happens at any church service is an open Bible. Thank God for Temple Baptist Church. Every time you come to this church, you get the Bible. I remember visiting a young lady who'd come to our services several times in Akashi, in a place where we started the church there. And then she stopped coming. And I went to visit her with some other people, my wife, maybe somebody else. I said, now, you were coming pretty faithfully. What hindered you? What's keeping you from coming? And she said, well, every time I came, you just preached the Bible. Well, guess what? If she had kept coming every time she came, I'd still been preaching the Bible, amen. I never will forget when I was ordained in 1954. Brother John Robinson preached my ordination service from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I remember well him pointing his finger at me and said, Don, preach the word. If it's new, it isn't true. And if it's true, it isn't new. Preach the word. Hey, by the way, we don't need something new. We need the old book. Amen. The Bible. The Bible. Paul opened the Bible. And guess what? Hey, one day, you might have been 6 years old, and your mother or your dad opened the Bible. You may have been in your teenage years, and a youth director opened the Bible and showed you how you could know you were saved and going to heaven. You may have been an adult. My dad was saved when he was 57 years old. Somebody opened the Bible. And by the way, that's the most important thing that can ever happen in your life, when somebody opens the Bible. And guess what? There was a lady there by the name of Lydia, evidently a rather wealthy lady. And the Bible says, and God opened her heart. That's the first open heart surgery ever performed. Amen. God opened her heart. Now, what does that mean? Lydia was listening to Paul, and the Holy Spirit of God made this real to Lydia and opened her heart. Now, our Calvinist friends tell us that once God begins to speak to your heart, they have a phrase that they call irresistible grace. In other words, once God begins to speak to your heart, you cannot resist it. By the way, that's wrong. You remember when Philip was preaching to the people? And he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And you can have the Bible preached to you and you can resist that. And by the way, that does away with irresistible grace. Amen. And by the way, the other four points are just as bad. Don't ever let anybody tell you that Christ only died for a few people. I believe from the depth of my heart. Little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world of mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lydia not only listened to Paul, she not only heard Paul, but she listened to him. I never will forget, Brother Pittman, Virginia and I sitting at the breakfast table years ago. And I was thinking about 1,000 things I had to do that day. And she was talking. And all of a sudden, she stopped and she said, Don, are you listening to me? And I said, sure, I'm listening to you. Okay, what did I say? Well, you said a lot of things, amen. And see, I heard her, but I really wasn't listening. So we not only need to hear what's preached, the Bible, the open Bible. We need to listen and then go a step further than that and obey what is preached. Huh? So we have the open mind. We have the open door. We have the open Bible. And, hey, by the way, don't ever neglect your Bible. There are millions that do not have one verse from the Holy Scriptures in their language. Don't ever take your Bible lightly. We have a saying in Japan, and I loved it. Osakano taberu yoni seisho yomi nasai. Amen? No, you're not supposed to say amen if you don't understand, right? What does that mean? And that means this. Read the Bible like you eat fish. And by the way, they eat fish every day and a whole lot of it. Amen? So read the Bible. Don't neglect your Bible, the open Bible. Thank God for Bible-believing and Bible-preaching churches and churches that obey what they hear. So we have the open mind. I hope you have an open mind tonight. If God would speak to your heart about going to the mission field, this would be a wonderful mind to get that settled, and a wonderful day to get that settled. You say, well, I want to do this. No, wait a minute. have an open mind. It's not what I want to do. It's what God wants me to do. And by the way, what God wants you to do is better than what you want to do. I never forget Ron Bishop. I think I've told you this before, but I've told you everything I know several times, okay? But Ron Bishop, right after he got saved, he went to a camp, Christian camp. And they had men counselors and lady counselors. And Ron was 15 years old, but he said, I got a crush on this one girl counselor. And she was about 19, 20 years old. But sometimes younger boys, they get a crush on some girl. And he said, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. She was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen. And during that camp, he said, and I heard missionaries talking like this. I told God I'd go anywhere but Africa, and God sent me to Africa. And I told God I'd go anywhere but China, and God sent me to China. And on like that. And he said, then I got to thinking. And I began to pray, dear God, don't make me marry that girl and go to Hawaii as a missionary. And he said, sure enough, he didn't do either one. Okay. Could I tell you something tonight? The best place in the world is not a geographical location, but it's in the center of God's will. It's where God wants you to be. I've been in a lot of rough places. I've been in a lot of places that wasn't good at all. But after 70 years in the ministry, Brother Pittman, and I think this over and over again. And by the way, it hadn't always been easy. But I thought a million times, if I had it to do over again, I'd do it. Huh? You say, well, you've had an easy life. You don't want to hear all of my sad stories, amen? And I'm not going to tell them to you. I'd do it over again. An open door, an open Bible, an open heart. And then guess what happened? Lydia opened her house. You say, what does that have to do with it? Well, look at it. And when she was baptized in her household, she heard the gospel, she believed the gospel, she repented, she trusted Christ as her Savior. Then she led her other people there in her household, and probably a lot of people worked for her. She was a very wealthy lady. And then she said to us, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. What happened to Lydia? Evidently, she had a big house, okay? And after she got saved, you know what she thought? This don't belong to me. Hey, by the way, it doesn't matter what you have. It's not yours. It's God's. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from God, in whom there's no barrenness, neither shadow of turning. If we could ever get in our mind, we don't own anything. We are stewards. Thank God he has put much in our hands, many of it. But it's not ours. And one day, we're going to give an account for everything that God has given us. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what we've done, whether it be good or bad. Would it not be good tonight to realize I'm not my own? I'm bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And according to the word of God, I am to glorify God with my life. You have an open mind? What if God would say to you, Lou, like he said to Grace, I want you to go to Japan. I want you to go to Honduras. I want you to go to the Philippines. I want you to go to Iraq, Iran. Huh? Listen, would you listen? Would you have an open mind? Tonight, would you say yes to God? We used to sing that little song, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will answer and obey. Wouldn't it be great tonight? If all of us, I'm 90 years old. You say, well, you don't have to make decisions. I have to make decisions every morning. First thing I have to do is decide where I am. And really, tomorrow morning I'll be going to Toronto. And I'm already praying that on the plane I'll be able to tell somebody about Jesus. You have an open mind? You have an open heart? God, the Holy Spirit's worked on your heart. You know you're saved and going to heaven. Are you willing to go wherever God wants you to go? We sang that song tonight. I will go. I will go. I'll never forget. God began to deal with my heart about going to Japan. And I, like Paul, he saw a vision at night saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And I didn't see a vision. But I got a letter. I was pastoring in Providence, Kentucky, 3,500 people. I was a Southern Baptist at that time. There were two other Southern Baptist churches, 3,500 people. There were a Methodist church, Presbyterian church, Pentecostal church, every kind of church you could think about. And one day, I got in the mail a letter. I had written an article for the Western Recorder, the state paper of Kentucky. And I opened that letter, and it was from Donald Mobley in Akita, Japan. And he said, Brother Sisk, I read your article in the Western Recorder. I don't know anything about you. I don't know your age. I don't know your educational attainment. I don't know anything about you. But he said, when I read that article, I thought, whoever wrote that article has a heart for missions. And then he said, my wife and I are in Akita, Japan. That's like a state. There are 3.5 million people in Akita, Japan. As far as I know, we are the only witnesses here. And then he went on to tell me about some problems they were having and so forth. But he closed that letter with a very simple question. Brother says, what would keep you from coming to Japan? I couldn't find a reason. And thank God I went. I'll say, yes, Lord. Yes, young people. Don't destroy your life while you're young. Don't just use your life, but give your life to God. Invest your life in what God wants you to be and where God wants you to go, what God wants you to do. Say, by the way, young couples, middle-aged couples, isn't it about time that we begin to obey God rather than just do what we want to? An open mind. An open Bible, an open heart, and an open house. Hey, by the way, one of the great churches in the New Testament was the Church of Philippi. And that tradition tells us that that church met in Lydia's house. By the way, whatever you have, God gave it to you. And if you'll commit it to God, God will use it for His honor and His glory and your joy. Let's pray together, Pastor.